Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and I'm really excited about my guest today, Nikki Rausch, because she has some awesome experience with sales, and I always love talking to another female entrepreneur whose specialty is in sales. So after 25 years of experience selling to such prestigious organizations as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Hewlett-Packard, and NASA, Nikki Rausch decided to trade in her road warrior status so she could help entrepreneurs sell in a way that builds relationships, creates true connections, and results in more closed deals and long-term clients. Now, as a sales coach, author, speaker, and founder of Sales Maven, Nikki transforms the misunderstood process of selling into techniques, tools, and tips that can be successfully incorporated into a process replicable by anyone whose livelihood relies on selling a product, a service, or themselves. It is my pleasure to welcome Nikki to our show today.
Hi, Belinda. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really grateful to be here.
Yeah. So let's sort of dive in and let's fill in some of the gaps from that bio. That was pretty impressive. And just tell us a little bit more about your journey and then kind of what you're doing today.
Well, I always like to share, because especially for people who feel uncomfortable around sales, I think most people think that you have to be an extrovert to be successful in sales. And I am an introvert. And so I always like to share that I came from a very male-dominated industry where I really wasn't sure that I could be successful because everybody who sold around me was aggressive and like, I'm going to go out and, you know, hunt big elephants and we're going to like kill that game and all that stuff, which did not resonate with me at all. And so on my journey of trying to figure out how can I be successful in sales, I found my way to studying neuro-linguistic programming. And if that's a new term to anybody listening, it's really the study of communication. And by studying neuro-linguistic programming, it helped me understand that my style, which was about building relationships and being really specific and strategic in my language, allowed for me to have a lot of success. And so I really blossomed once I found that. And my business that I now have, which is Sales Maven, was really born out of working around entrepreneurs that were struggling with sales conversations. And oftentimes it's because they didn't understand the strategy, but they struggled with the words too. And so by combining my background in sales on how to build strong relationships and my background in NLP, I now teach people like what to say and how to say it so it lands really soft, so that you're building these connections and that you're being strategic and you're leading somebody through the sales process. So that's what I do now. And it's just been an incredible journey to get to work with people and watch their success as a result.
That's awesome. And I do agree with that. I think a lot of people think that you have to be super aggressive to be good in sales. And I say, tell people, you just have to be assertive and just know exactly what it is that you are providing for another person. Be of service minded instead of thinking of yourself as this overzealous salesperson, which I think mm-hmm. People have a real vision of what it is to be in sales. And that's part of their problem in pushing through that. So tell us a little bit now about how's the business shaped your lifestyle today, and then how are you helping others today?
Well, how it's shaped my lifestyle today is that I no longer have a boss who's screaming at me like, fill your funnel, Nikki, you know, and like really having that pressure. And so I love the idea of teaching and really being able to put it in a way that somebody can go like, oh, I could do that. Or, oh, now that I understand where I am in the, like where I am in the sales process, I know what to say and do next. So it really allows it, my business now like feeds my creative side. I love to teach. I love to create content and I love to give people language that is easy for them to say and is effective. And so really, now I spend my days and how it's kind of shaped my business is working with entrepreneurs and getting them really comfortable with the actual sales conversation. So that's really where I specialize is when you have a prospect that you are moving through the process, it's not, you're not just selling online, right? I'm working with people who are having conversations with prospective clients, either over email or some type of communication that moves them into the sale. And so that's what I do now. And it's just so fulfilling.
Great. So I like to sort of switch gears here and let's talk about skill sets because okay. Everybody's got their superpowers, right?
Yeah.
The things that they super excel in. And I'd love to know what you've identified as yours.
Well, one is the language piece. And it's funny because I didn't really know how strong the language piece was for me until I started working with clients. And one of the services that I offer for my clients, whether it's in my membership platform or whether it's when I'm working with somebody one-on-one, is I will often look at how are they phrasing their discovery questions or what did they write in their last email to, and you know, to promote some product or service that they're selling. And I can look at it from a reader's perspective and I'll tweak their language for them so that it, again, it lands so that when the person gets it, when the person hears it, they get the information that they need and it causes people to take action. So that piece, I didn't really know until I started just helping clients thinking like, oh, if we just switch up your language here, or if we just change this word, or if we just rewrite this sentence to be a question instead of a statement, imagine what that will do. And so that's been an incredible skill set that I didn't even recognize initially that people would be, they'd find value in, they would be willing to pay for. And then I think my other one is just my kind of my grit, my ability to, I don't have to be perfect. I don't expect my clients to be perfect. I will put offers out into the market to test them. And if nobody buys, it doesn't like ruin my day. I just move on to the next thing. And so I'm always willing to just like, let's see, let's test, let's see what happens. So I think that I like, and then switch gears if I need to.
I think that's a super great point. If you want to elaborate on that, I think that's what holds people back probably more than any other single thing is trying to make sure everything is perfect before they put it out there or before they move forward. And for many people, it never ends up even getting off the shelf. They end up talking themselves out of it before it even comes to fruition. So can you speak to that just a little bit more? Because I really do think that that's probably where the majority of entrepreneurs struggle more than anywhere else.
Yeah. Well, one, I think it's this idea that you get caught up in like, well, this is how other people launch. They do these great big launches. They open and close carts. They do this, they do that. And I think that mindset can get in your way and hold you back. And if that isn't how your clients like to buy, if that doesn't fit with your style, and frankly, building a huge launch where you spend thousands and thousands of dollars on launching a product that you don't even know if people want to buy yet, I think is a mistake. So I tell my clients this all the time and I test things all the time. Like, let's just see what happens. Let's put the offer out. Let's see how people respond. Let's see if you like teaching or delivering, or if you even like selling whatever it is that you're wanting to sell, and then we'll tweak it. So don't get caught up in, I have to have the right price. I have to have the right time. I have to have the right people, all of that. You just put that stuff out there and you see what happens. And it's really from me doing that and teaching things and trying things out in the market that has really allowed for me to, I think, hone my business in and get really clear on what my offers are, because now I understand this is what people will pay money for. This is what I really enjoy doing. This is what I excel at. And when you have those three things, that's like, you know, it's like you pouring gasoline on something. It's like, that's where your business starts to ignite. You can start to scale your business when you start to understand that, but you really don't know those things until you test something in the market. So put it out there, see what people say. If nobody buys it, okay, well, that's disappointing. But if a couple people buy it and you get to deliver on it, and then now you go like, ooh, I know how to make it even better. And this was such a huge value. I know next time I'm going to offer at a higher price or whatever that piece is. So I think it's just about being willing to test. And I think the other thing people sometimes think is like, oh, I'm going to put it out there. Nobody's going to buy and everybody's going to know that nobody bought. Actually, nobody knows that nobody bought unless you tell everybody. You know, you just move on.
Exactly. You know, for years, I had really been pressed to create a planner for primarily direct sellers or people in sales and then and entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, oh my gosh, there's so many out there. There's somebody that has had to have nailed this. And I just kind of kept putting that off. And then I finally ordered like 20. And I was like, there really isn't, not for people in sales. And so then I was like, okay. And then I was talking with my staff and how are we going to do this. And for 2 years, it just became this convoluted, oh, that's going to require this. You're going to have to do that. It was the same thing. It was like it had to be so perfect, or we had to do all this research and we had to know, you know, A, B, C, D. And then finally, one day on like December 18th, I was like, I'm sick and tired of this. And so I literally drew one out on paper and created this planner. And then we ended up not even getting it in until the end of February. And we sold it as a 2018 planner. And it sold. Now, we didn't sell tons. And there was so much great feedback. Like when you look at that planner then to what we have today, like people said, there's not even any comparison. But I got something out there and it did sell. It didn't sell all of what we had bought, but it sold a lot. Mm-hmm. I think our first run, we ordered 3,000 and we sold 2. So it was like, okay. But people said, I love this, but, or I had time then to say, this does sell, like, let's fix it. And each year we've tweaked that to where now people are like, you've just outdone yourself. This is amazing. But it didn't start out being amazing. It started out just serving a need that was okay and getting enough feedback that you're on the right track, girl. This is it. But you just need this, this, and this. Here's what I'd love to see in it. And the feedback that we got from even those first 1,800 people was incredible to say, okay, how can this now be better? But if I hadn't have ever started somewhere, and it wasn't my staff that was being supportive or the other people around me, they were still 2 years later, oh, we got to do this research. We got to do this. We got to figure this out. And I literally scribbled it out on paper, sent it to my graphic designer and said, do something with this. And that's how we started. Literally.
I love this story. That is such a great example. And that's the thing is that sometimes you want to put out good quality stuff, right? And I'm sure your first planner, like maybe it wasn't as awesome as it is now, but I'm sure it was really good. But sometimes really good is good enough. You don't have to have it be perfect because it's by getting it out there that people can give you feedback, that you can see how people are using it, or you can ask questions about it that allows for you to now have the planner that you have today that people are like, oh my gosh, you've outdone yourself, right? Like that's how things get better is by testing. But by doing a bunch of research, it's kind of like you can read as many books as you want on how to ride a bicycle. But until you get on and have to push the pedals, like you don't really know what balance is all about.
Exactly. That's a really good analogy because it is so true. And then once you start writing it, it doesn't take very long at all before you do learn that.
Yeah.
And then you get better. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about some accomplishments. What are some things that are super meaningful to you that you've experienced along your career?
Well, I think one of them is I have now written and published 3 books. And I actually wrote my first book before I started my business because I was in this place of like, I wasn't sure if I was going to go back and get what I called a real job. Like I needed to, like, should I go back and get a job where I have benefits and I'm making a lot of money again, or was I going to start my business? And I was in this like uncomfortable place. So I decided to write my first book while I was doing some job search because I thought, I hate job searching, by the way. I think job hunting is like one of the most painful things besides like packing that you can ever ask me to do. And so I decided I'm going to write this first book, and I'm going to do it with this idea that by the end of the summer, I'll feel like I have accomplished something, even if I haven't found like the right job. And so my first book was me just writing for me to see if I could write a book. And it, you know, and then I ended up starting my business. So the book came out after the business started, but really I wrote it before I even really had the concept for the business. And then my latest book is the book that I'm really proud of. I feel like it's the book that I always wanted to write for salespeople and, or for non-salespeople really who want to get better at sales. And so
that's, and what's the name of that?
It is called The Selling Staircase. So I teach my framework for a sales conversation is a staircase. So The Selling Staircase is my third book, and I'm really proud of it.
Oh, perfect. I am always looking for really good sales books to recommend, because we have a whole list of about 100 books in our planner in the back page. It's my bookshelf, and I just really love having really good, strong sales books in there, and especially by females. And I'll be really super honest with you, there aren't a lot.
Well, I would love to be included in there if you like the book, and I'll happily send you a copy of the book so you can read it. Are you a reader, or do you like to listen to books?
Do you know what? I am a reader by nature. I love having a book. I love to highlight. I'm that old-fashioned girl.
Yeah.
I love even doing editing. Like, I have a really hard time editing online. And when clients force me to edit online and redline this, it's so painful. I can't even describe it to you. I just want to print it out, take my little pencil, take my red marker, and do my editing. That's just how I like to work. However, I have really decided this year is my health year, and I've really been getting on this treadmill or on my bike. And so I'm like, I need some good things to listen to while I'm on this treadmill. So I'm kind of open to this idea of having audiobooks, but I don't usually do that. So does that make any sense? It probably doesn't answer your question.
Well, either way, whatever you prefer, I'm happy to share the book with you if you want to take a look at it and see if it fits with your audience. But I'm, like I said, I'm really proud of the book. It's gotten really great feedback. People I just had somebody over the weekend send me a picture. They were sitting reading one of my books, and they were like, "Look what just came from Amazon." I was like, "That's so flattering to me that somebody would order the book and then take time to like send me a picture of themselves reading it."
That's so awesome. So, well, congratulations on that, because it's not easy to write a book, is sometimes people make it out to be so easy. It isn't. However, it is just about getting started. Again, it goes right back to the other stuff that we were talking about, and just starting somewhere and doing it and then fixing it or tweaking it or writing. You know, it does take a process to get it to where you want it to be, but my goodness, you do just need to start.
Yes.
Let's talk about a challenge or situation that you faced and how you worked through that.
Well, I'm going to say the biggest challenge was really kind of trying to figure out how to be an entrepreneur and do it in a way that I could make money. I really didn't know much, because I came from a corporate background, and I had, you know, built this really successful sales career. And going into entrepreneurship, like I always say, it's not for the faint of heart, that's for sure. And I felt like it was a huge uphill, like, learning curve for me to try to figure out, like, what should I be spending my time doing? What should I be spending my money on? You know, where should I be investing, and where should I, you know, like, invest time, even all of that kind of stuff? Where do I network? Where do I do those things? And so building the business, and really the thing that has always made the difference, and I actually knew this about myself before I started my business, but it's become so apparent in my business, is that I like to learn from people who already know how to do it. And I'm willing to invest time and money to learn from people who are doing something that I need to know how to do. And so that was really how I overcame this obstacle, was I hired a coach right away. And I have had coaches over the, 7 years of my business, and I get everything I can from the coach that I'm working with. And then when I feel like I'm ready to move on, then I go find somebody else that knows how to coach me on something, some other part of my business. And it's just been, I'm really loving my business and the way that it's growing right now. And it all goes back to, I have dedicated time, money, and a lot of energy into learning how to do it successfully.
Tell us just a little bit about, so a good salesperson always has to get their selling legs somewhere, obviously, and that was in your corporate experience. So just share a little bit about that with us. So we haven't really kind of heard about what sort of a day in the life was there. We've heard some great companies that you've worked with, but I'd love to know, in what were some things you learned along the way selling whatever different products it was? It's like, I think you learn different skill sets with different products that then you can bring into a whole, which is probably what you've done now in teaching others. But I'd love to hear that, because I think that's those stories of, this is where I really learned this skill, and this is where I really learned this.
Well, okay, I love this question. So I'll tell you, one of my very first sales jobs that had a commission component to it, I had just moved to Washington State. I was 20 years old and I needed a job, and it was right before the holidays and they were hiring for like those kiosks in the middle of the mall. Mm-hmm. And the company that I interviewed for sold leather goods. I didn't know anything about leather goods. So it was like purses and bags and wallets and belts and anything you could make out of leather, really, except for clothes. And I got this job and it was minimum wage. And I think minimum wage at the time, I can't actually remember, but I think it was less than $5 an hour. And so here I am working at the mall, but they had this thing that if you worked a certain number of hours, you had to sell a certain amount. And once you sold over that, you started getting commission. And that was like, what? Because I started making 2 and 3 times my minimum wage because I could sell enough to like really make money at that. So that was the first, that's where I really got a taste for, ooh, I can control my own destiny by selling more. That's super interesting to me. So that was one of my great lessons. The other one was when I really did transition into the manufacturer level of sales. And I was working with people who had been in sales for a lot of years. They'd been in the industry, they knew technology, and they were a lot of really aggressive men. And that's when I found my way into studying neuro-linguistic programming and starting to understand that you actually can be successful at sales regardless of your personality type. It's just understanding how to make your skill set work for you. And that's, I think, what I learned from NLP was that for me, my skill set is about building relationships. And from those relationships, people would tell me things, they'd be revealing about how to earn their business. And that was crucial to my success, of understanding that when I really invested in the relationship, people were much more likely to share what their needs were, share how to earn their business, and they were also more open to hearing what it was that I was selling. And as a matter of fact, one of my largest clients, when I moved from one company to another, my largest client at the former company, they really didn't have a market for the product that I was selling, but they loved me so much that they found ways to sell my product. And they became the company that I then went to work for. They became one of their top 3 customers because they loved me. And so it was all about this relationship piece. So that was another just incredible aha moment, was like, uh-huh. Okay, I don't have to be pushy. I don't have to be super aggressive. That's not really my style. I tend to be a little bit more shy and introverted. So great, I could build these strong relationships and people would find opportunities that they'd be like, Nikki, we want you, I want to work with you. So here's this opportunity. Let's figure out how your product works here. That was also another really great lesson.
I couldn't agree more. I would agree with you 100%. And feel like that's been my sweet spot in selling, is building good, strong relationships, customer follow-up, even just calling, I kept notes on every one of my clients and what their kids' names were, asking about how their kids were doing specifically, you know, knowing different vacations that they were going on and asking them how that vacation went. Like I kept like notes on my clients. And so that when I did chat with them again, it was more invested. And yet I find today, and it's gotten worse. And so I love it that you're saying it's relationship building, but today it's worse than it's ever been. And people are just not willing to build any kind of relationship. We hear it still. It's about the relationship. But like, I don't even think that some people even know what that means. They don't pick up a phone. They don't answer if they don't recognize the number. They want to just DM everybody. They want to have cryptic text messages instead of having an honest conversation. I don't think they ever find out the need. If somebody doesn't respond, they're like, move on to the next person. In fact, we hear more of this. Just put it out there to, you know, 100 people and some will respond and the others that don't, move on. And how do we get past that today? Or how do we teach people today how to build relationships that are meaningful when they're not willing to do the work? I mean, that is really what it comes down to.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. I think there's like, we all want like, we want everything super fast. And this is why I teach this 5-step process to selling. And I always say like, as the seller, you don't get to skip steps. And most people go from this like introduction to step, you know, that's step one. And then step five is the close. And they try to skip through the steps. And there's nothing worse than somebody treating us like a dollar sign, or like, I just am a wallet that's walking around and you just want in my wallet. Like there's no relationship. And I really think the answer, and I teach this and I talk about it constantly, so we'll see what you think about it too, Belinda. But I always say, like, we have to stop talking at people. We are, like, as a society, we are sick of being talked at. And talked at is sending people like blast DMs and sending out, you know, blast messages. Hey, everybody, you want to buy this product, blah, 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 or sending out, you know, whatever it is. We're just sick of it. And that does not build relationship. We have to start talking with people. And with people is conversation. And it's through conversation that you build relationship. And conversation, the easiest way to start a conversation, and this is going to be like, I'm going to tell you something that you're going to go like, duh, Nikki, that's so obvious. But I have to preach it constantly to my own clients. Conversations start with a question. And if you are not asking questions, you're talking at people and they're not listening.
That is so interesting, because I was just editing an outline for like show notes, you know, for the podcast. And so it's an email that is going to go out, and I have a new writer and she just jumps right into it. In this episode, blah, 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 blah. And I said, you need to start it out with, have you ever felt this way? Are you looking for this? And I had just said, you need to be starting this with a question, because it needs to grab that reader to say, I totally struggle with that. I totally have issues with that. So that makes me want to go on and read this next paragraph, as well as click and listen to this podcast. Otherwise, you're just throwing information at me. And we just had that conversation literally before I came on here to record with you.
I'm just here to reinforce how smart you are. Like, really, like, you got it.
Oh, my goodness. But it's so true, is you need to be asking or get people to think about where their struggle is. A good salesperson really is just providing a solution for somebody's problem or their need. Yeah. And if people would just, so you need to know what that need is in order to provide the real solution.
Yeah. And I often will say, like, it's not your job in sales to convince people to buy from you. I don't actually really like to use the word convince. It's your job to understand what their need is, what the problem is, and then offer them a solution and do it in a really kind and credible way that they can make a decision. And that means, you know, using some language that makes it easy for them to say yes or no to your solution.
Yep. So what does working from your happy place mean to you? It's kind of our signature question of the show.
It's such a great question too, by the way. I've been listening to your show. I love this question. And I love the name of your show too. It's so fun. And I think really relevant. So for to me, working from my happy place means that I really am putting myself out into the world in a kind, incredible way. I only talk about the things that I feel knowledgeable about and that I know will make a difference. So I walk my talk. I don't ask people to do things that I'm not willing to do. I don't teach things that I don't do in my own business. And that to me feels congruent. And to me, congruency is happy.
Oh, that's a great answer.
Thank you.
And it's not one that I usually get, so I love that. I've been sort of collecting all of these, what does working from your happy place mean to you, and thinking, I just want to do a little book of this is what working from my happy place means, and just putting different people's thoughts in there, because I think that'll be pretty awesome.
Oh my gosh, I would love to read that.
I know, wouldn't that be awesome?
Mm-hmm.
I need to do it.
Do it.
There you go. All right. So what advice would you give to others wanting to go down this entrepreneurial path?
Well, one, you have to be willing to invest in your own personal and professional development. And I will say, because there is this piece of sales component to it, that whether you think of yourself as a salesperson or not, you should invest in learning how to sell successfully, because you will get to your outcome so much quicker when you really understand what's going on in a sales conversation.
Very good. And any tips on that interim of just like you were like, okay, I need to go get another full-time job or not, and I want to start this journey, but when is the right time to go? Like, is there any advice that you have? And then I think that's the entrepreneurial struggle.
Well, I think, again, be willing to put out something that isn't perfect, that is good enough, and see if somebody is willing to buy it. And so you can do that without leaving your full-time job. You can offer to do some coaching on the side, or you can offer to, you know, you can sell a product on the side. I mean, as long as you don't have an agreement with your business or with your company, I don't do anything that's going to get you fired, but be willing to put yourself out there and test the waters and get some understanding about what does feed your soul. Because again, I don't think entrepreneurship is for the faint of heart. I think you have to love it. You have to be passionate about what you do, and you have to show up with a servant's heart. You have to want to serve and make a difference in the lives of the people that you are going to sell whatever it is that you are selling them, and then it will resonate. So you have to test it and find out what that is.
That is great advice. So any new and exciting things you're working on that you'd love to have our listeners benefit from?
Well, for me, it's about my masterclasses right now. So I teach 4 masterclasses a year, and they're taught over a three week period each class. So once a quarter, there's a masterclass, and depending on when this airs, the next one that I am teaching is around email conversion. So making sure that you have email sequences in place. And so that's the one that will be coming up in April. So depending on when this airs, it'll come up in April. And I love these masterclasses. People are coming into them. There's time to implement what you're learning. And people are walking away going like, I have all my email sequences set up. Like, now I can really test things out in the marketplace, right?
Perfect. And in close, how can our audience find you? And I think that you had a free gift you wanted to offer.
I do have a free gift. So I have an ebook called Closing the Sale, and it's around boosting your confidence around that sales conversation. And my gift to your audience, they can get that by going to yoursalesmaven, it's maven.com/happyplace. And that's for your listeners. And then we'll be connected, because you'll get the email from me. We'll be connected. You'll be on my website. You can also find me on my podcast too, which is Sales Maven.
Oh, perfect. And any other places where they can find you?
Well, I tend to hang out on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. Facebook more only for my group, though, because I have a membership platform, and that's where people go and tag me with their questions. But I'm on Instagram and I'm on LinkedIn, and you can find me under Sales Maven or Nikki Roush.
Perfect. Well, Nikki, thank you so much for your time today, your pearls of wisdom. I'm sure our audience is going to glean lots of great information, and thank you for that free gift for our audience. Always love that. And to all of our listeners out there, thank you so much for joining us today. And don't forget, subscribe to Work From Your Happy Place so you don't miss a single great episode. Our interviews are so diverse, so wonderful, and bring you so much awesome information. You just don't want to miss one. And of course, we appreciate, both of us do, any comments that you can make or leaving us a review. That is the best. So once again, Nikki, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It was such a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.